Yes, we were actually saying, Lauren, as we were walking into studios, I found you in the school. We were marring a number of litter bins at Winston Churchill School, weren't we?
We were indeed. There were a number of them out there.
Quite a few, actually. I think that could be one of those pub quiz questions. How many litter bins are there at the school? They're all next to each other. There's no excuse for littering around here. So, Lauren, thank you for coming to see us at Radio Woking. It's really, really lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Woking Litter Warriors, this is something that's been set up fairly recently, isn't it?
Yes, just over 2 months ago we've been running now.
Okay, and how did it all begin for you?
Well, last year around the time of COVID and lockdown, an acquaintance and I created a group that operated in Guildford and Woking, and it became apparent that, you know, more of the Guildford members would go to the Guildford events and more of the Woking members would go to the Woking events. So it made sense for a dedicated group for our hometown. So I created the Woking Litter Warriors. Here we are today. We've signed up over 100 members, and the other group's only declined by about 30 or 40. So we're still getting a lot of new members from Woking themselves. So it's really good.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's great what you're doing. Really brilliant, you know, that the community want to get involved. And I think this is kind of out of lockdown, people maybe kind of going to parks and things more and seeing litter and thinking, yeah, this is a problem, and it's been kind of a resurgence in litter picking. Have you noticed that?
I hope that, like me, a lot more people have become aware of the issue because during lockdown, you know, obviously we were only allowed to, you know, have our walk outside, and people were, you know, hopefully going out and enjoying the sunshine and nature, and it became more apparent to me that litter is a big problem. And, you know, during lockdown we were getting bigger problems of the single-use gloves and the single-use mask coming about, so that made me feel, right, I have to do something. I mean, I don't think I knew it was a big problem before, because I was kind of mostly inside at work or at the gym, or, you know, I would only go out on the weekend, but during lockdown I was just like getting to a point where this is too much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that, so that was the catalyst for you. You saw the litter, you saw it as an issue, and you thought, right, need to do something about it, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
Right, okay.
And it's my local hometown. I want it to be nice. I want to have people enjoy it. Yeah. And I want to be able to enjoy it,
absolutely,
not have to walk over wrappers and
It's not only unsightly, you know, sort of a blight on our neighbourhood having litter, but you mentioned PPE waste and masks and things. There's a danger there to wildlife as well, isn't there?
Definitely, yes. It's not just that. I mean, we've known it for years. Those attachments to cans, you know, the four pack of cans, they've got that... the holder for the cans, and, you know, we've been told about this for years, that if that's just discarded, you know, birds and seals and, well, not seals, seal couldn't fit through that, but little birds or bunnies can get their necks stuck in that, and the animal still, you know, does his everyday things, goes and eats and does whatnot, and he grows, and it grows around him until he gets too big and it starts digging and cutting into the neck.
Yeah.
So it's a big problem for wildlife, and not only for nature and wildlife, but, you know, people around us, you know, there's blind people who may, you know, accidentally walk into something and have an accident, elderly people, anyone, I could slip on a wrapper in the rain.
Yeah, of course.
It's just horrible.
It is, and you've seen the problem, you've done something about it, and there's been a massive response. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, Matt, what are your sort of thoughts on this? When, you know, you littering around your part of Woking.
Yeah, well, it definitely is an issue that I think has been around for a while. But as Lauren was saying, we've all kind of had very busy lives and very insular lives until lockdown. So we kind of got on with stuff, and if we saw something, we'd occasionally deal with it. But since lockdown, I think we've also had a lot more pride in our local areas and where we live and how we live. So it's certainly something that I knew needed addressing, and I'm glad that there are now groups like the Woking Litter Warriors that are doing their bit, because you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Yeah, and were you surprised, Lauren? You know, you set up the Facebook group and you've got to, what, 100 members on Facebook and other social media platforms. Were you surprised at the response that you got? Was it kind of more than you were expecting?
I was very grateful. The other group had a few more than us, because Guildford potentially is a bigger place. There's more people to get involved. So I've been really grateful that some of those members, even Guildford members, have come and joined our group as well. Because, you know, it is a social aspect and you do create friendships with the group. And yeah, it's a really nice thing. We always try and organise to have a drink after a litter pick to kind of socialise and say, you know, what was your weirdest find? What was the, you know, most horrible find you had? And that's why we've called it Woking Litter Warriors, because, you know, it's a war on litter, I say. Yes. And it's a continuous battle against the litter pickers and the litter bugs around our area.
You know, it's just like, it's brilliant what you're doing, but if people just put their rubbish in the bin or took it home with them and disposed of it responsibly, you wouldn't need to be doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, not as frequently. I mean, no. We found litter from, you know, 1900s, 1930s even, so
what are you finding from the 1930s then?
Well, so earlier this year in a litter pick in February, I picked up a Pepsi Cola bottle and I thought, this looks old. So I went on the internet and had a search, and that was dated at around 1950s, 1960s. So I was like,
well, and that was just discarded. Okay.
It was in the mud, so I had to dig it out a bit, but it had been there a while, obviously. And then I went back and started looking at some of my other finds that I've posted pictures of. And I found last year, I had found a cooperative milk bottle that I'd looked on the internet, and it came from around the 1930s.
Wow.
And when the cooperative first started. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing, and, you know, great from a historical point of view, but also the fact that litter stays around, that sort of highlights that, doesn't it? It stays there, and it's still, you know, it's not going to go anywhere anytime soon.
And this is the problem with, you know, glass and especially plastic. Plastic never degrades, so every piece of plastic we've created is still out there somewhere.
Yes, you hear these stories. There was something I was reading about last year, I think, a plastic cereal toy from cornflakes or something, you know, found washed up somewhere, and it'd be right there from the 1950s. Yeah. I mean, it just shows you. Really interesting to talk to you, Lauren. We're going to take a break. We're going to get some music on in a bit. Some Alanis Morissette. It's really, really interesting hearing, isn't it, about some of the litter that's being found, including those very old bottles.
It's really historical. It could be really amazing.
A glimpse into the past. But as we're saying, it just shows you how long this sort of litter is hanging about. So I think, you know, having you in the studio on the programme today, I think it's quite interesting to talk about the litter that you find. I mean, what else? We mentioned the bottles and the historical stuff like that, but what other sort of weird and wonderful stuff have you found then? To give us a few examples.
That's a really tough one. I mean, there's so many strange and crazy things that we find that we're like, what are these doing here? I mean, this year, one of the ones that has really stuck out to me was a cat's eye.
A cat's eye?
So, you know, in the road.
Oh, okay. Not an actual cat's eye. Right.
Yeah. I was a bit concerned in myself.
Luckily, not an animal cat's eye.
Okay.
Made that
so, an actual cat's eye from the road.
From the road, yeah. So, you know, obviously, you always see them in the road. You've never seen one. Well, I've never seen one out of the road. And, you know, so I picked it up and I was like, this is quite heavy. And I was like, what is it doing here? Just left on the side and not actually in the road. So it just goes to show that, you know, some of the council contractors that they have to do the roadworks and stuff, they're not great at picking up all their stuff as well.
And you found an angel last time as well.
We did. James and Sue, two of our members, they did part of the route around the cricketers last weekend, and they did find a gorgeous garden angel. So I don't know why someone would just discard that so unlovingly. So we left it on top of the pile in case someone wanted to come along and pick it up.
I mean, my sort of reaction to you saying that is maybe, you know, somebody picked it up in someone's garden and then dumped it somewhere around the corner, possibly.
Well, hopefully not. Yeah. I don't want to see stealing going on. I hope they didn't, but, you know, if they did, then hopefully they'll go around our pile and pick it up again, get it back.
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, we say litter in an age-old problem. I think we all remember, you know, the infomercials from back in the day. You were growing up, tend us not to litter. Yeah. Was it Stop It and Tidy Up, narrated by Terry Wogan? Do you remember that?
You're right, yes. It was.
Remember that? Stop It and Tidy Up, Terry Wogan? Oh, okay, it's a cartoon that was around back in the day. I think we're showing our age now, aren't we?
We are.
Anyway.
I was in the States when I was younger, that's why I missed that.
That's one to look up on YouTube later. It's quite good. It's a cartoon and there was like a load of characters and it was a message about not littering.
And it still hasn't got a cross then.
No.
I was just going to ask, what happens to the litter you collect afterwards?
Ah, yes, that's a very good point. Well, so what we've done as a group is we've contacted all the local councils, so Guildford, we've also got Waverley and Woking, of course, and we say that, you know, we're a group, we would like to organise group litter picks, and we've agreed to arrange a collection point, normally one, but if it's a long area with lots of litter, like the Lockfield Drive that we've done in the past and also the cricketers, we may have one or two collection points. So we let the council know where they are, and we put all the bags there for them to collect. So, you know, between 12, 18, 42 last was our...
42 bags in 2 hours. I mean, that's a lot of litter, isn't it?
And that wasn't even all of it. There was much more in the depths of the bushes. We just, you know, are time limited. Can't stay there all day, otherwise we'd be there 10 more hours.
Yeah, it must be hard. You know, you're doing a little pick and then, you know, you go back and then you find that more litter's appeared. It's kind of a never-ending task for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say also, people must say, oh, it looks amazing. You've done a really good job. It looks really tidy. Is there not a part of you thinking, well, we did it, but if you did your bit as well, we wouldn't have to be here doing it?
This is the thing. And one of the problems is as well that if you do a solo litter pick, if you're going out on your own and you want to make a difference and you do your local street or whatnot, the council doesn't like you leaving your single or couple of bags in a location, because, you know, then they have to tell their contractors you need to go here. So, and actually it would be considered fly tipping, so you might get in trouble and fined if you do that. So again, that's why we've created this group, so we can go, look, if you know a bad area, organise an event. Anyone in our group is more than welcome to organise an event. Let's arrange it with the council, have a collection point, and we'll do this together, and you'll be fine.
So if you're out and about picking up litter and you see someone dropping some litter and you actually see them do it, I mean, how do you react to that situation? Do you challenge them, or what do you do?
I have in the past challenged a couple of people, and I try and stay calm and obviously not raise my temper or voice or anything. I try and stay as calm as I can, and I warn them. I say, you know, you can get in trouble for that, and you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Reactions I've had in the past is laughing or just, oh, whatever, or things like that. But I think you need to choose your battles wisely.
Yeah.
You need to kind of maybe assess who you're going to challenge. And, you know, we wouldn't recommend any of our members going and putting themselves in danger. So.
No, this is the thing. You just don't know sometimes, do you? But, I mean, in terms of consequences, I know the council have sort of wardens that go about, and if they see litter in, they can issue on-the-spot fines, can't they, I believe?
Yeah, it's just numbers, though, isn't it?
It is.
Place and time, you've got to be there, right, place and time. So, unfortunately, a lot of this still does happen.
Yes, it's like I say, an ongoing battle, but, you know, you're fighting litter through your army of litter warriors. And, you know, from sort of seeing the problem and starting up the social media campaign and organising the litter picks, you've got a number of local businesses on board now, haven't you? Tell me about that.
We do. We're so grateful for everyone who's got on board with us and who's responded to us. So obviously, first we had Optichrome, the printing company, working. Mm-hmm. I got them involved in the last group last year, and went back to them again this year and said, oh, you know, would you be happy to continue to support our group? So they said, yeah. We've now got flyers and stickers. Last year we just had the stickers, so now we've got flyers, which I brought one.
Oh, very good.
Today.
I love it. Everyone loves a good flyer. And can I just say as well, Matt can't see, but, you know, I think this should be a rule for every guest that comes to the studio. You know, Lauren's turned up fluorescent jacket with, you know, Woking Litter Warriors all over it, badges and everything. So there's no mistaking you. But I suppose that sparks conversation as well, doesn't it, when you're walking around the community, people see you a bit, oh, what's this?
Well, yeah, and I'm so proud of this group. Like, we've got some amazing members and, you know, people you can start to build friendships with, and, you know, I'll offer to pick up people from train stations if they are travelling from Guildford, and, you know, I'll try and do as much as I can to help everyone get involved who wants to get involved.
Of course,
So I'll wear my badge. You get a badge when you join our litter picks. Oh, and
we all like a badge, don't we, I think.
If you would like one, yes, you are. And then we also have our fluorescent jackets because, you know, some people passing by as we're doing our litter picks, they might be a bit shy, so they might not want to come up to us and ask us about it. So it's a great way to just show who we are so they can go look us up and hopefully join in.
Nice. Okay. And everyone's getting behind you, which is amazing. So we mentioned some of the companies. You've got Co-op involved. They've done some litter picks around. And the latest is, McDonald's are involved. They've got behind it. I mean, that was amazing to get McDonald's on board.
Yeah, McDonald's was incredible. So my dad contacted the corporate vice president, and she then put us on to the franchise owner, Mark Schweizer. So he owns the three McDonald's in Woking, and I met with him and his team, and he reacted so positively to what, you know, I was saying in the group. I almost fell off my chair. And they've been so great. You know, they've given us loads of equipment, you know, a trolley, bag hoops, litter pickers, bags and gloves, and they've come to our events too, and it's so great to have them. And then these beautiful vests that I'm actually wearing was donated to us by Experience, an events company in London.
Oh, okay.
So Tony Clark is one of the directors of that company, and he's a founder member of our group. And I said to him, you know, I'm going to start looking for some sponsorship. And he said, oh, let me talk to the directors. And hey, bingo, they
agreed.
There
you go. It snowballed, hasn't it?
Here's our beautiful vests.
And I know, you know, fast food outlets, you know, I mean, this is an ongoing battle. I know they do a lot of litter picks and McDonald's, I think, around all their restaurants since the 1980s, they've been doing it. But joining forces with you, that gives them kind of extra reach and extra support from their point of view. For some of their staff doing litter picks, you know, you can kind of support them and they can support you. So it's kind of a two-way thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think some people think that they're the problem. You know, they go, oh, well, if we didn't have fast food restaurants, there wouldn't be, you know, any litter out there. But, you know, if you actually come on one of our litter picks and see what we're collecting, it isn't just the fast food stuff. I mean, there is quite a bit of it, but you get Costa, you get Pret-a-Manger, you get loads of other ones. And I think, you know, some people saying, oh, fast food is a problem. It's kind of like blaming the vendors is kind of like blaming agriculture for obesity.
Yep.
Like, you know, they're meeting a consumer need for food on the go. And it's a choice. And, you know, they're making that conscious choice to chuck their wrappers or packaging out their car window or drop them as they're walking through the park. So, you know, it's the consumer problem, not a vendor problem.
Yes, this is working out how to change attitudes and how to get that message home to people.
I was going
to
ask, actually, what would you like to see changed into hopefully reduce the litter that we all experience or the amount that we all have to throw away every day? Because there is a lot that we have to dispose of and throw away generally.
Yeah, well, it's about the packaging, isn't it? And it's a big problem because, you know, I have spoken to the McDonald's staff. I haven't got to the supermarkets yet, but we also, we do see a lot of, you know, the candy wrappers and the crisps packaging and the, you know, they have the deli counter. So you see their plastic. So it's not just fast food, it's shops, it's, you know, Amazon packaging. Mm-hmm. Everyone, it's this plastic problem. It's such a great thing that we've created, but it's also potentially one of the most terrible things because, as we've said before, it never disappears.
No, this is the thing, isn't it? Well, we're going to talk some more. We'll take a quick break for our business news. And Matt's I've got an article in front of me, and Matt can't see this, but the idea of fast foods, and we mentioned fast food isn't kind of the main, you know, it's kind of the face of litter, and I suppose people sort of see that from the outside, and that's kind of the stereotype, I suppose.
Potentially.
But yeah, but, you know, there's other litter in as well. But when it comes to fast food, Burger King has announced this week that they are going to become the first UK fast food giant to combat litter and waste with returnable and reusable packaging. So they've got a trial going on, Lauren, at the moment, of camshell-like containers and cups that can be returned to outlets via special bins, and then they're professionally cleaned, and then they get reused. What are your thoughts on that?
So it's an interesting idea. I mean, if they have only the bins on their sites, then it would be limited to people either eating on site or eating in the car park. It doesn't really cater for the takeaway, because if you drive in and you drive out and you go somewhere else and eat it, then where they're hoping, I guess, you either hold on to them and come back.
Yes.
So it won't necessarily stop those litterers from stopping chucking it out the window because they still have that opportunity to do
that. Yeah, this is the thing. The customers pay a pound deposit, returnable deposit, but, you know, you see from the shopping trolleys where you put the pound, some people are just not worried about it to leave a trolley still anyway. So,
I would have thought it was more similar to the coffee chains that are starting to offer money off when you bring your own cup. So if they were going to do that, you know, you pay a deposit for this shell, clamshell container for your burgers, and then you bring it each time with you and you get some money off. I think that would work really well.
Yeah. That's probably going to be more beneficial and more inspiring for people. Because you're right. I think if you drive off with it, you're going to just either throw it away or throw it out the window, and there'll still be a litter issue.
And it'll be worse having a big sort of, you know, a more sort of, yeah, you know, something like that going out than maybe potentially some of the just the single-use plastic if that sort of stuff gets littered. But it's interesting. So, yeah, it's just people trying to find ways of dealing with it. And I think if you kind of go through the financial aspect, you know, give people money off if they reuse, I think that's how we're going to educate people.
I think educating people is really hard. I mean, once you're out of school, you know, it's kind of up to you to find that information. And if people have an interest in it, they might do it. But if they don't, you know, they just won't look for it. I mean, there's quite a few. I can't understand why people litter. But the few things I can think of is, you know, one, they don't care. They just, they literally don't care. Two, they think, you know, maybe it's someone else's job. Someone else gets paid to do it. So why am I going to do it if someone else is getting paid to it? And the other one is, you know, they're not educated and they don't understand the consequences of, you know, wildlife and nature and other people getting injured or hurt by these litter bugs.
I could tell from sort of watching as you're talking there how infuriated you get by littering. Yeah.
I would call it impassioned, John. Laura is impassioned about what she's doing.
Yes, passionate about what you do. Yes. It's really interesting hearing about what you're doing and some of the other stuff that's going on. And something, a trend that's emerging at the moment is something called plogging. Now, this involves joggers, I believe.
Yeah, I have heard about it. I follow someone on Instagram and they follow me back. So we were liking some of each other's pictures. And I applaud them, everyone who do that. I think it would be limited, though, from what they can collect. Because, you know, if you're jogging along with a bag next to you, I can imagine maybe some wrappers or paper. But you won't want to be collecting all the glass bottles that we get, because then they'll be crashing against your legs.
It'll be like one of those endurance tests, you know. You end up with 42 litre bags.
And how much collecting do you do? Because the heavier the bag, the less you can run.
Yeah, the less fast.
Or jog.
I don't know. Endurance test. I think this could be a thing, you know.
So they might be scratching the surface, which is great. You know, any help is great. But, you know, we'd still, groups like ours, with walking groups, would still have to go by and get the heavy stuff.
Yes. So, I mean, you're also in talks, I know, with the Selby Half Marathon organisers. Now, we had that a few weeks ago. So I guess the idea there, when the roads are closed, that's an ideal opportunity for you to get out there and pick up litter, because it's safe.
Exactly. This year, I was too late. We missed it. But some of the roads were closed, and I used that opportunity myself to go out and do a stretch of road that, you know, has no pavements or sidewalks. And, you know, cars do speed, I've noticed, in a 40-mile zone. They do go fast, and there's blind bends and everything. So the road was closed, perfect. I'm going to go out, and I got two bags in less than half a mile. Wow. By myself. And again, heavy things, bottles, lots of beer bottles. So yeah, I just thought, you know, I've contacted them, we're in discussions, and we kind of want to piggyback off their event, the Surrey Half Marathon, because we think it'd be a great opportunity for the whole of Woking. And, you know, we'll say, if you're not running in the race, come along and litter pick with us.
Yeah, I mean, you've got lots of volunteers there, you know, marshals and things like that. I mean, that could be definitely a tie in there. So I think that's something we could, that'd be good to look at next year, wouldn't it?
Yes, and we'd love the council, Woking Borough Council, to get behind us, because we'd love to, you know, show this as a focal point. You know, everyone can get involved. It will just make such a difference, I think.
Absolutely, making a difference in your local community. So, you know, your group definitely doing that. So, I mean, you know, it's been a runaway success. Everyone wants to get involved and, you know, help keep their area and give their area a bit of TLC and get rid of this this eyesore and the danger of litter. Where do you sort of see it going from here then? I mean, we mentioned some of the stuff you've got in the pipeline, but what's next?
Yeah, so we would love to, what we try and do is have an event at least once a month, so we can pick a really bad spot that needs doing, and concentrating on that. But we also encourage other members, as I said, to create their own events. And, you know, I don't go everywhere in Woking, so I don't see everything. So just more eyes on the ground and more feet, more troops helping out, cleaning up the area. So we've got two more events coming up. One's Saturday, the 14th of May. So we're revisiting Lockfield Drive. So we're meeting at the Bridge Barn Beef Eater. And this time we're going to work away from the town centre. So the first time we worked towards town centre, okay, this time away, which is a bigger, longer stretch, so we're hoping for more bags. And then we've also joined forces with Shine Fest, which is a music festival that's being held this year at Merris Wood. So that's on the 3rd and 4th of June. The 3rd and 4th of June.
Yes.
So we're still looking for volunteers for that. So if you'd like to, you know, either email us or go on Facebook and check out our group and sign up, that'd be great.
Excellent. It's been really good to talk to you and, you know, really great to see how passionate you are about your local area and the fact that you're kind of taking action and doing something about it. I mean, it's easy to think, oh, you know, there's litter, it's terrible, but actually taking that action and getting out and doing it. So so remind us then, if we do want to get in touch, how do we get involved and get in touch with you?
Yes, so we've got a Facebook group, that's Woking Litter Warriors, and then in brackets WLW. We're also on Instagram, so that's the same, Woking Litter Warriors. If you're not on socials, we also have got an email address, which is WokingLitterWarriors@gmail.com. So yeah, hopefully that's a number of ways that you can get in touch. If you don't have any of those, we also have, as I said, those two events coming up, the 14th of May at the Beep Beefeater Bridge Barn, and then Shine Fest 3rd of 4th. So if you pop up to those events and go, hey, I want to join, we'd love to have you.
Yes, you get your hi-vis, you get your badge, your litter picker, all the other stuff as well. And yes, brilliant. Well, Lauren, I wish you best of luck, you know, to your group for everything. It's been fascinating to talk to you. Really nice to meet you as well. And
thank you
talk
so
about
much,
what you're doing.
John and Matt. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.